From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the Alaska Board of Fisheries says no thank you to stacking Bristol Bay permits. The only guy who seemed to know what was going on sometimes is retiring and creating a new dog treat from what McDonald's doesn't put in its filet-o-fish sandwiches, plus more, all coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported, in part, by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries has largely maintained the status quo for Bristol Bay's commercial fishery at its meeting focused on the region held in Anchorage. Just a handful of changes were made, including a new rule that will require all fishermen to drop their blue card and register in a district before they start fishing. But when they sat down to discuss permit stacking on Saturday, the board opted against making any changes to the one-person, one-permit rule in Bristol Bay. KDLG's Molly Dishner, who has owned these meetings on Twitter, tells us more.
The board heard extensive testimony both in support and opposition of allowing an individual to hold more than one permit. But they worked quickly Saturday morning to oppose SetNet permit stacking, unanimously voting down or taking no action on six such proposals. Board member Sue Jeffrey says that while consolidation might seem like a good solution to the current low prices, it's the board's job to look farther into the future.
If we pass this, regulation would allow the 977 permits to be in the hands of 488 people. Although that would help us right now at this time and place, I don't think it's a good long-term solution. I think that our job as Board of Fish is to allow fair access to the resource for all people, not just in this watershed, but the people in the state of Alaska.
When it came time to consider similar proposals for the drift fleet, there was a little more support for stacking. Board member John Jensen says he heard more advantages for the drift stacking: less gear in the water, fewer boats on the water, and getting the fleet closer to the optimum number.
And I supported the SetNet stacking the previous couple of years, and I could see this year I wasn't going to get any love. So both arguments are very valid. If they had probably introduced language or amendment to the proposal to reduce gear, and I think I did see it after the fact, but I couldn't find it in all my paperwork. I was up there looking, and I would have supported if it would reduce gear.
But in the end, board members considered and then failed the drift permit stacking in a 1-5 vote. Jensen was the only yes vote. As a Bristol Bay drift permit holder, Fritz Johnson of Dillingham was recused from voting. Dillingham drifter Robert Hyano says he was surprised drift stacking got consideration after SetNet stacking was voted down, and that the idea of a sunset clause seemed like a bad regulation, but he was happy with how it all ended up.
I hope it sends a strong message. I really appreciated the comments of the board members that reference the Alaskan First issue and taking care of Alaskans. You know, this is Alaska Board of Fishery, and I really appreciated that. And coastal communities are having a difficult time, and it's not only in Bristol Bay, it's statewide, keeping residents from coastal communities active participants in the fishery.
The board spent most of the rest of the weekend hearing from fishermen about district-specific management changes, including a new fishery near Leavelock, changes to SetNet sites as erosion adjusts the old boundaries or fishable water, a flood fishing mandate for the Nooshigak drifters, and the repeal of the Wood River Special Harvest Area. In Anchorage for KDLG, I'm Molly Dishner.
Alaska budget expert and fisheries economist Gunnar Knapp is retiring as director of the Institute of Social and Economic Research at UAA. In a letter posted online last week, Knapp said he'll retire from the top position in June, but he'll continue to work part-time for the think tank to continue his research and promoting discussions about the state's budget deficit. Knapp has been with ICER for 35 years and served as director for the past three. He's considered one of the keenest observers of Alaska's commercial fishing industry. Knapp says he wants to spend more time with his family and to finally finish his book on the economics of fish.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA@AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor David Landis has been hired as the new general manager of the Southern Southeast Alaska Regional Aquaculture Association. Landis has served on the SARA board for 11 years. He was formerly a manager in Saxman with the Cape Fox Corporation and worked for Alaska Tidal Agency in Ketchikan. Landis says he has always enjoyed being involved with SARA and saw this as a great opportunity. He says it also feels like a good fit.
Well, I understand the commercial fishing very well, having been a former commercial fisherman, not for lots of years, but when I was going through high school, was crewing on fishing boats. And then when I was in college, I ran charter boats. I mean, I've always enjoyed sport fishing and then the service on the board of SARA for all those years. It just seemed like everything fell together, and I was really fortunate to be selected.
Asked if he had any goals as general manager or felt changes were needed, Landa says part of what attracted him to the organization is how well it's run.
It's very, very well run, very professionally managed, lots of fish going into the water and coming back every year. So it's not a fix-it operation. It's a very finely tuned organization, and it will be a pleasure to come in and continue what's going on and what has been going on for quite some time.
SARA operates six salmon hatcheries near Deer Mountain, Whitman Lake, Neats Bay, Neck Lake, Crystal Lake, and Burnett Inlet. It also has remote camps at Anita Bay, Kendrick Bay, and Nacket Inlet. Landis will take over as general manager in late January. He replaces John Burke, who served in that position for more than 10 years.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Like many pet owners, you may toss your dog tidbits from your plate. A fatty piece of moose meat here, a bit of fish skin there. Well, a couple of University of Alaska Fairbanks researchers in Kodiak are experimenting with turning some of Alaska's finest scraps into dog treats. They've received almost $94,000 of funding from the Pollock Conservation Cooperative Research Center for their experiments and will work with Pollock, a mild whitefish. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche dropped by the pilot plant in the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center to learn more.
Chris Sanito uses a machine to grind up gelatinous chunks of pollock skin. This is one of the steps in testing antioxidants that will keep the dog treats from rotting. If all goes well, by this summer, the experimenters will have a marketable product with a long shelf life and an irresistible flavor. Sanito says they haven't conducted taste tests, but the concoction already has a fan.
My dog's ears will just perk up when I come home and he knows I have them in my pocket.
He thinks other dogs will be just as enthusiastic. Right now, he and the project manager are more concerned with creating a product that lasts. They keep the pollock skins in a walk-in freezer. Sanito says they're the bits that processors usually toss.
So McDonald's would take the meat, and this is the waste from that. So this is just what's left over, and this would just go in the garbage. But for this experiment, they've collected this for us. A lot of the brown meat is still left on the skin, and it's mainly collagen protein, so it's a very easily digestible protein. But there is quite a bit of meat still on there.
Today he's grinding down three trays of pollock skins. One is a control, and the others will test two rosemary-based antioxidants. One is Herbalox, which is geared towards humans, and the other is Naturox, which is used for pets. Sanito says each mixture also contains 10% all-purpose flour as a binder. After pressing the mixtures into trays, he'll freeze them, cut them into sticks the next day, and then dry them until they're shelf-stable. He says they're also testing pet treats made from whole pollock skins. About 6 months ago, they cut frozen blocks of the skins into thin shingles using a bandsaw, dipped them into the antioxidants, and then dried them. Sanito takes the results of that round of experiments out of an environmental chamber. The machine looks like a giant refrigerator, and Sanito says it's used for accelerated shelf life studies. Right now, it's set at 30 degrees centigrade or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Sunito cuts the plastic containers open to see the treats inside.
They do look a little different than when I first started, I think.
Just by smelling, you smelt the fresh skins, and then if you smell that, that's oxidized quite a bit. Can you tell? It smells like kind of bad fish, but I think a dog will love it still.
Sunito says they just sent out samples of that experiment for analysis. As far as predictions go on which pollock form and antioxidant treatment might work best, he's still undecided.
The ground one is probably a better utilization because when we bandsaw, we're wasting about 15% in sawdust. But the ground one may open it up more to oxidation, so we'll just have to see how what happens.
Sunito says the project manager will travel to Anchorage to present their progress in late January, and the entire set of experiments should be done in June. I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A report recently released from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game suggests that heavier human traffic on the Kenai River could be detrimental to salmon habitat there. The report has been in a draft stage with Fish and Game for more than a decade, but was only just released recently. It says that no single factor is posing a big risk to fish habitat, but the cumulative effect of human behavior can prove significant. Robert Begich is Fish and Game's area biologist for the Sports Fish Division. He says the habitat study is still useful, but a lot has changed since work on the report first got underway. Whether habitat protection and restoration efforts have been enough to affect fish populations in a measurable way is unknown, according to the report. Plenty of time has been spent on specific sites, but there's a lack of overall information about the watershed. Begich says he's not sure how or if this particular report will play when the Board of Fisheries takes up Cook Inlet issues next year, but fewer restrictions probably won't happen.
It's always been taken into consideration, and I think you're more likely to see the areas that are restricted remain restricted and perhaps more added as some of the land becomes public land, comes into the public estate through purchases of private land that folks want to sell to DNR or the state of Alaska. It's more likely to become more conservative.
Researchers figured a total waterfront length of 130 miles, including both banks of the Kenai, of which about 25% has been preserved or improved.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Molly Dishner reporting from Anchorage and Hannah Colton holding down the fort in Dillingham. KRBD's Maria Dudzak in Ketchikan, KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, and KDLL's Shaylin Cochran in Kenai. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.